Good morning, everyone. We're calling the meeting to order. This is the second quarterly meeting of Board of Regents at June 5th. And we will have the roll call. Secretary Dennis.
Regent Bale.
Present.
Regent Ronnie.
Present.
Regent Hammonds.
Here.
Regent Helm.
Here.
Regent Milligan.
Here.
Regent Nichols.
Here.
Regent Spiller.
Here.
Vice Chair Thomas.
Present.
Chair West.
Present.
Regent Robinson.
Here.
We have all regents present represented.
Great to see everybody today. And our first item of business is to approve. We have three sets of minutes to approve. The first quarterly meeting, the special call meeting in April, and then the special call meeting in May. Has everybody had an opportunity to look over the minutes? And does anyone have any corrections or changes? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the three sets of minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. And our first next item of business is Academic Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have seven action items. We'll try to get to them. And the first action item is approval of WTU Innovation Campus Microgrid Project.
Yeah, great, thank you. Just to remind you that this is WKU proposes to implement a microgrid out at the Innovation Campus on its roof that will supply energy, ensure continuity in critical operations, and support for the community. Cost is $2 million, but it comes out of grants, and no ER money will be used to do that.
Any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept.
So moved.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Second, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next item is approval of program suspension of Master of Science in Kinesiology.
Yep, there's been a shift in the job market and the changing profession standards has prompted the faculty to ask for a suspension of this program. It turns out that they will then go back out and take a look at it again and remodel it in a different format.
Questions? Not on our time motion.
Yes.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item passes. Third item is approval of program suspension of Bachelor of Science Geological Sciences, Provost Bishop.
Yeah, the faculty again made the decision to suspend the geological sciences. Ultimately, they will create a BS in geological sciences and merge it with a BS in environmental sustainability and geological studies to create environmental, earth, and sustainable sciences as one program.
Any questions? Not under entertain a motion approved.
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Fourth item, approval of program suspension, Bachelor of Science, Environmental Sustainability, and Geographic Studies.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of all three so they can be merged. That's where we are. So, again, the faculty asked to suspend, in this case, the BS in Geological Sciences, and then merge it with the other two that were previously mentioned to create a new program.
Any questions? Not entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Fifth item, approval of program suspension, Bachelor of Arts advertising.
Yeah. The faculty, in this case in Media and Communications, has asked to suspend the BA in advertising. They will take the BA in advertising and merge it with public relations to make a new integrated advertising and public relations program.
Questions? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Six items, approval of program suspension of Bachelor of Arts Public Relations.
To do the rest of the merger, now the faculty would like to take, and media and communications would like to suspend the BA in Public Relations, and then merge it with what we talked about previously.
Question?
It's a teach-out, right? It'll be a teach-out.
Everything's a teach-out. Yeah. We don't run away from anybody. We will teach everybody out. Yes.
We are.
Any other questions or comments? Your motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes.
What I would say about all of those at this point is that it's a move in the direction of how it's changing out there and what the expectations are of certain areas that have expanded over the last 10 years to make sure that our students are ready to be able to move from here to a career as they do these new majors that are merged majors.
Next item is approval of Faculty Emeritus.
Yeah, we have two faculty emeritus today. I'll start with Dr. Amy Capisi. Dr. Capisi built a distinguished record of leadership, service, and teaching and scholarship while she was here. She joined the university in 2006. She earned tenure in 2012 and retired in 2024. She was a leader on campus. She had roles such as MSW, or the Master in Social Work Program Director, Online Master of Social Work Cohort Studies Coordinator, and she was also interim chair of that department. In addition to that, she published 2 books, 12 peer-review articles, and delivered more than 70 peer-reviewed invited presentations. She's not here today, but she is well-deserved to be an emeritus faculty at WKU.
You want to... You want to take them up together, or you want to do them individually here?
I was going to do them one at a time.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Real quick, did she give you some comments she wanted?
She did not. Oh, I get two. Thank you. So Amy says, I'm deeply sorry I could not be present for the meeting with the Western Kentucky University Board of Regents as my faculty emeritus nomination was considered. My 18 and a half years in the Department of Social Work were an important part of my life, which allowed my passion for research, service, and teaching to weave together in support of WKU students, colleagues, and the community. This recognition touches me more than words can hold, and I carry it with profound appreciation. While I have shifted to working in frontline social work supporting survivors of sexual assault, I will always remain at heart a lifelong learner who shares the knowledge, values, and skills with others. Thank you for your understanding of my absence and for honoring the work that has shaped so much of my life. Dr. Amy Capisi.
Comments? Entertain a motion to accept.
I move we afford this honor to Dr. Amy.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The second person is Dr. Larry Owens, professor. Dr. Owens built a strong record of teaching, service, and scholarship during his time at WKU, joining the university in 2010. Earned tenure and promotion in 2016 and retired in 2024 as a full professor. And he is with us today, and I'm going to ask him to say a few words.
All right. Thank you for the nomination for this. I feel quite honored being a first-generation college student from a single-parent home. This is more than I could have imagined. I was going to be a firefighter, but through a series of events, I went to college that opened and changed my world and opened the world to me. Like Dr. Capisi, I'm what I call a pracademic. I spent 25 years in practice as a child, in working in child welfare, and then I transitioned to academia. So I was able to combine those two factors into working with the students. Another big area of mine is international. And while I was at WKU, I was able to represent the university at over 15 countries, doing research as well as study abroad. And so much so that my wife and I, she's a WKU alum, we have endowed the Go Global Scholarship here at WKU that provides funding for social work students for international experiences. So I'm truly honored. I noticed that WKU is everywhere. Whenever I wear my WKU hat on the golf course, inevitably someone has gone here or their kids. WKU truly is everywhere. And then final, most of my time here was spent at the regional campuses. And I just want to speak to the importance of regional campuses. I know online education is a great option, but regional campuses touches students who are place-bound in a very different way. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to work with those students, and I appreciate the university's commitment to that. So thank you for considering me for this, and it really is an honor. So thank you.
Thank you. I don't have anything to say about that, except that he's well deserved of the honor.
Thank you, Dr. Owen. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item passed.
We have one information item today. As we saw today, there was a lot of suspensions and then reforming of structures. As we move forward, we talk constantly about modernizing curriculum, but also thinking about how colleges should be structured as we move into the next 10 to 20 years. And today we have Dr. Terrence Brown here today to talk about how PCAL has been working on a new restructuring model.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to present here today, and I'm excited to share with you an intentional step forward for PCAL, a restructuring initiative that we're calling PCAL Forward. This is about positioning our college for long-term strength, visibility, and sustainability in a rapidly changing higher education landscape. I'll walk you through five areas today: why we're doing this now, what we're actually changing, the process we've been followed, where we currently stand, and what the future structure of PCAL will look like. I'll close with a key takeaway, and since we have a lot of ground to cover, let's begin. Why now? This is the question that I'm asked most often. The honest answer is, the time for deliberate, proactive change is before a crisis, not during one. Higher education enrollment is declining nationally. Students have more choices than ever. They're drawn to programs with clear identity and strong pathways. PCAL has incredible depth, distinguished faculty and staff, vibrant programs, alumni making real impact, but our current departmental structure doesn't always make that visible or easy for students to navigate. PCAL Forward is driven by three opportunities: stronger academic pathways, grouping disciplines that naturally complement one another so students can see connections and build coherent programs of study; enhance student experience and visibility, making it easier for prospective and current students to find us, understand what we offer, and feel a sense of belonging within a defined academic community; expanded curriculum, media, and community partnerships, creating administrative homes that can pursue external partnerships, grants, and community engagement with greater agility. We are not restructuring out of panic. We are restructuring from a position of purpose. Before I describe what we're changing, I want to spend a moment on how we got here, because the process matters enormously. Since substantial change is often difficult, with an array of opinions and emotions, we work to be as intentional as possible about how we are doing this work. Some of this intentionality is built on large forum presentations, small group discussions, surveys, and research performed externally of the university. The restructuring has unfolded in five-phase process, three of which that we're going to discuss this morning. Phases one and two were about listening, faculty forums, data review, and developing school alignment proposals. We ask, what do our colleagues believe belongs together? What serves the students best? Phase three moved into identity and structure, naming the schools, defining administrative relationships, and ensuring every unit has a clear home. On May 8th of this year, faculty and staff submitted their formal recommendations. There was a significant milestone with difficult and intentional conversations that pushed us past our comfort zones. And I'm thankful for all the unit leadership, faculty and staff and students who contributed to this work. Our implementation target is fall 2027, giving us time to do this in a systematic way. I want to be direct about something important. This restructuring does not eliminate programs, and it does not reduce personnel. It is a purpose to strengthen visibility, improve coordination, and build sustainability. The goal of this college is to do easier to lead, and also to navigate, and more competitive for the students and faculty we want to attract. Here's what PCAL will look like in the beginning of fall 2027. We have four schools and one temporary continuing department. The School of Languages, Literatures, and Writing, which brings together English and modern languages, under a shared identity reflects their common focus on communication, culture, and expression. School of Social Sciences, using political science with the Society, Culture, Crime, and Justice Studies Unit, creating a robust home for civic inquiry. The School of Creative Arts and Design, which is music, art and design, and theater and dance, together in one vibrant creative community. This school has extraordinary potential for interdisciplinary collaboration and community partnerships. And the School of Media and Communication, already established in 2022, this school continues to anchor our commitment to communication, film, visual journalism and photography, journalism, broadcasting, integrated public relations and advertising, and other emerging media. Department of History. During our discussions, history did not emerge as a natural or broadly supported a merger partner at this time. Additional time is needed to build relationships, strengthen trust, and determine where future alignment may be possible. The bottom line of this slide is, academic identity is preserved. What changes is how we coordinate, how we present ourselves externally, and how easy it is for our students to find and navigate their academic home. I'll leave this with you. PCAL Ford is deliberate change now, so we don't face forced change later. We are choosing structured adaptation over forced contraction. We are making this move while we have time, the community voice, and the institutional will to do it well. PCAL is where creativity, critical thinking, and communication come to life. It's where students build success. It's built upon belonging, readiness, and purpose. PCAL Ford ensures that continues on stronger footing for a new generation of students. I'd like to thank you for your time and your investment in this process.
Are there any comments or questions? What? Thank you, by the way. What? Sorry, can we go back to that?
I apologize.
Which one would you like?
That last slide with the key takeaway. You talked a little bit about like the shrinking or like this. Like the word that caught my attention when you started is like crisis. Can you talk more about like what that would look like? Because like I know like yes, the enrollment cliff, but like how is this restructuring going to like one to one or you know, however how is this going to help?
I'll give you an example. When I talk about crisis, mm-hmm. You know the lay of the land in higher education. We are thankful to have administrators and leadership who give us opportunities to address some of the issues in a systematic way, opposing to doing a top-down, heavy-handed, you must do this in 2 months. Mm-hmm. Say, for instance, there was a conference that I attended last November where the provost walked in and said, you have 4 months to restructure your whole college. We don't have to do that. We've started this process. It'll be a three-year process when we finish. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean about that forced part, mm-hmm. where we have opportunity to have some conversations.
Thank you.
I think... I would love to say, I think when you look at it, I think it brings together groups that then can create what we saw today, new majors, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking about how individual majors are this, but together they really create new and innovative ways to move forward into the future. And I think that will excite students to be here and excite students to see what the future holds.
And that work has already started. If you want to come to my office, I invite you. On my window is about 17 new certificate programs, 3 new majors, and 8 community partnerships that are in the works right now as a result of these restructure conversations. So therefore, your future board meetings will be busy.
I didn't understand your comment about the history department. Would you state that, please?
Yeah. Right now, the history department will temporarily remain as a department until we find some conversations to find a suitable school home for them.
Thank you.
So I have another question. I don't want to cut you off.
There you go.
There's a little bit of confusion, I think. I've been asked questions about this, as you might imagine, for a while. And one of the questions that's come up most often is, hey, when this comes before the board, you got to vote against it. And I keep saying, we don't vote on this. By academic policy, it goes provost to the president based on recommendation. The president has the final say. But I figured out yesterday, I went and read the website that you have, the rationale, went through the FAQs. And in the FAQs, or in step 3, it says very clearly in there that it will be presented for board approval by June 1st. And I think that's one of the things that's caused some confusion. Is in your own information to the college, it says that the board would be doing approval on this.
That has been adjusted in the print materials, but we were delayed on some technical issues on the website.
But I'm giving you that background to say, one, that probably explains why I might have gotten so much information. I have gotten a lot of information and questions on this. And so some things I feel like I need to ask, okay, and coming from the faculty, coming from the campus community, you talk about you already have 17 or so programs that are collaboration things that are already going. I would be curious as to why these departments cannot already collaborate. They're in the same college. They work together. They're closely aligned disciplines. Are there barriers and hurdles to them doing this now that this is going to remove?
No, I think the thing is that the question I think that you're trying to say to me is that couldn't they have already done this in their current structure? The answer is they would have already. The reason why we're seeing this curriculum innovation is because we are restructuring. To be frank, higher education tends to operate in silos. And through those siloed operations, we have very little reason to move outside our comfort zone to collaborate. The arts and medias and humanities and social sciences face unique problems, barriers. We are trying to position ourselves in a way to meet the external forces, but also find opportunities to thrive and not just merely survive.
So when you create these, I'm assuming we're looking at some financial savings as well. I mean, coming from a university perspective, we'd be looking for, this is going to help us recruit more students. This is going to lead to some administrative savings. Can you give some, do you have, because you know, looking through, I'm not seeing any numbers on that. And the provost is always telling me, bring me numbers. What are you expecting in terms of student growth, enrollment growth, retention, or administrative savings on the back end? Because there's a cost to a bureaucratic change like this. And the cost goes down to the faculty side quite often because they have to come up with new promotion and tenure standards. We reviewed those in the last year. Those are new documents that will have to be created by these faculty for these departments. That will take a tremendous amount of time to merge in those from different departments. Faculty could be spending their time doing it. They could be recruiting students. They could be advising students. They could be creating creative or research type activities. So there's a trade-off here. What are you expecting that trade-off to pay out in?
I want to talk a little bit about enrollment. Our college is no stranger to working on enrollment management. You probably see me on social media all the time. We have done a great deal of enrollment management efforts to try to grow enrollment in a meaningful way. Our current structure makes that very difficult. So no matter how much work we do, it's not seeing the return of the work we're putting in. It's because we believe of our structure. So that's going to allow us to be able to do that. When you talk about TMP and promotion and that work, that is in the next phase. I don't deny that does take time, but those are things that we should always do anyway. we should always look and review and revise tenure and promotion standards collectively. And we are going to have the opportunity for some units who may not have a chance to do that work to be able to do that in a meaningful way now with time.
So one thing I would just encourage, you know, I went through and read through your process. I saw there's been surveys. I've gotten a lot of feedback on all that as well.
What kind of feedback have you gotten? Because I would love to know.
The main thing, just transparency. And the surveys, results not being shared, whether it's a student survey or faculty survey or others, and I'm not a party to that. I don't.
And those go out to all faculty. Survey commitment have went up to all faculty and staff via email.
So I, you know, actually, y'all know I teach a lot of different courses. What I'm doing right now is strategic leadership, and this week is change management. And I understand people are resistant to change, but the only way to get them through it is through transparency and inclusion, making sure people fully understand. And based on what I've heard in the last, well, the last 6 months, but especially in the last week, I would say there's a lot of work to be done in the college on the transparency or education part of this to make sure that everybody's a part of that. That would just be my feedback on what I'm hearing. It's not any judgment or anything else, but just an honest assessment based on the amount that I'm hearing. And my watch is buzzing right now as I think I'm getting text messages even as I speak.
I think the transparency portion is always something we have to be mindful for in administration. But our hope was, as you have done, to look at the website to be able to find out the process and all the steps. And you were able to educate yourself from the website, correct?
Somewhat.
Okay.
Seven FAQs is not a lot, especially if there's some broad statements there. We expect gains, we expect things to be better, but there's no metrics.
Well, and a part of that is because, as I mentioned earlier, when people do this change, it's forced. We are in a different landscape. So a lot of our information that we would gather from people who have done it on a forced, truncated timeline. We're in a different system here where we're actually taking time to try to give an opportunity to do this in a meaningful way, understanding that it's going to be difficult, but also giving some people time to have some input.
So I'm a Potter College Arts and Letters graduate, and my major went through this process before. Talk to me a little bit about how you're balancing a shift to market and degrees that are connected to careers while still maintaining a focus on disciplines, being educated people, education for education's sake. I just think folks need to understand that that's still the core of what Potter does.
It is. I think because our college is so unique that we have a good mix of degree programs that teach fundamental skills that can be shared across the academy, but also specializations as well. Those conversations are always ongoing, so we do have to make sure that we maintain that level of understanding and also academic rigor. And that involves, through conversation with curriculum, our office has been very instrumental in some of the new curriculum that's come through to have conversations with faculty to say, we know what you're trying to do. Can you tell us how we can maintain the academic rigor, but also make it market aware? Mm-hmm. And I have been in those conversations with our associate dean to help with that. So the personal connection is the big main reason is that we've been able to do that.
The other question for me is, and I've seen this at other institutions, we talk about the importance of maintaining enrollment in majors so that a College of Arts and Letters doesn't become a service organization for the rest of the institution.
Yeah. That is always a point of concern. It was when I entered here. And it's not that I don't want to put ourselves in a position where we do just only serve, but we also have to realize that our degree programs have value on their own. And so that's the balance that we also teach as well. Is that if you go out with a major in English, yes, there is an array of careers you can explore, but a discipline in English, that is your major, and that's valuable by itself. So that's a delicate balance. It's something that you always have to have a conversation about, and it's always something that you have to keep in the front of your mind. I don't think there's a perfect solution for it, but you just always have to make sure those are checks and balances.
Dean Brown, you're not asking for approval today, but what things can the board consider? What things can we offer to help you and aid the college in this process?
I think, just as Regent Spiller said, if you have individuals who do have questions, Tell them to come talk to me one-on-one. I do patio chats all the time. Now, are we going to get to a place where we may agree wholeheartedly across the board? No. But I enjoy hearing the feedback because it does strengthen the process. Say, for instance, we didn't have commitment memos in this next phase. But from reading the feedback, it found out that there were some real fears of what people may lose. So we put commitment memos so people can articulate clearly. These are the things that, as we move into this new marriage, that we want to protect. So those conversations have been beneficial.
Absolutely. Fear of loss is one of the major things that drives a fear of change. And I think that, and this is my own take looking at it, I can see people feeling a loss of identity. Potter College celebrated its 60th year. These departments have a long history. They have, and you're merging them together with people. They have to create new structures and new processes to be a part of that. And you say, you know, in some of your things, bigger is better. It'll allow for better pathways for the students and others. I think that's a little, I don't know, you're more of an expert in humanities than me, but a history degree or an English degree versus something from a school that seems to have more of an identity to me, but then that's my uninformed take. But it's that loss of identity that I think I'm...
I think what I want to talk about a little bit about it is that, yes, we're changing the structure, but the emphasis on the degree program. And that's what we really want to make sure that's heightened. That gets lost sometimes in a department. We have departments already that have 8 degree programs. The School of Media and Communication has 8 degree programs. In conversations with those people since 2022, do I feel like that they've lost the identity of the degree program? No. It's actually created new ideas. Advertising and public relations being able to integrate with those conversations may have been difficult before. A new master's in comm that is completely online. And I commend those faculty for having those hard conversations. Mixing people who focus largely on research and practitioners and putting them together to kind of what kind of new ideas can happen. And that's what we've seen from that school. So we've used that to be able, and I'm thankful for those people to be able to do that, to give us some information on how this can go.
Dean Brown, was there comparison to the benchmarks for where those like units actually are in other places, like for example history, like where it fell at the other
benchmarks
to determine like maybe where we would have had that collaborate?
To be honest, and going back to your comments, I got a lot of comments as well that say, well, why does it matter? Because you know where you want us to go. And I can have an idea of where I want you to go, but that didn't materialize in these schools. Say, for instance, with history. After a conversation with those folks, I probably would have said, oh, well, you can go with English and we would have a humanities school. That wasn't the identity we had here. There's two mindsets. There's a humanities focus and there's a social sciences focus. And that's part of the opportunity there. It's kind of figure out where they found to be best.
That's where I was looking to see if benchmarks gave any lead to where others have it and what the benefit was in both of those benchmarks to see if that supported.
We've seen
maybe
both.
What you looked at.
Yeah, we've seen both, but what it really boils down to is trying to figure out what's best for our folks. And
right.
Everything.
Well, that's where I was looking to see if there were pros and cons and what you avoided by the benchmark to give you that.
There has been.
To use that to your advantage.
Yes, I would say answer to yes to all of that, and that's why I think that's where a little bit of an enigma right now is trying to figure out what that is.
So as we higher education itself enters into a period of tremendous pressure, and we've been entering into it for a while, we're there now. My concern is just simply, it's not simple, looking at that impending change and not making change for the sake of change, because maybe something different is a little bit better. And I'm not saying this is what this is a broader statement. What we all have to be concerned about is someone making changes and then their vita is great and they go someplace else, then we get a new leader in who comes in and changes it right back, because then they get to, and I've been in higher education long enough to see that many, many times. What is different is better than what we have, and is that always the case? And I would just like to see some true metrics of what we expect out of this and how it's going to be, as opposed to broader things of students will be able to find this. Students, yeah, those are general statements to me. So,
if you would like, you can take a look at my PCAL Forbes speeches, my Jumpstart. They're sent to all the faculty. You will find some data points in this latest that may help you in a meaningful way.
Well, I expect you to turn those over to the Gonskis to make the decision. I'm merely advisory here.
We have. No, but I mean, you're part of our campus community, correct? And you have people who are coming to you, and I would like you to be able to give them guidance.
Right.
Feel free to do that. And when you talk about restructuring just for someone to fill up their vita, I would hope now that my investment in the institution personally would have been shown. And that question has come up, and I've addressed with people directly. If you think that I'm using this as a way to benefit my vita, no. Do I really want sleepless nights? No. Do I want opportunities while I'm up at 4 a.m. thinking about what's the best way to serve our people in this college? No. Do I want to be up that early thinking about how we protect our students and the future of our disciplines as we see many pressures around us? No. My investment is one that is not only professional but personal, because I believe in these programs. And if someone thinks differently, that's okay. But I would love to engage in a meaningful conversation with them.
One of the things for me, Shane, that comes out of this, and it is frequently a challenge for folks who are stuck in their disciplines to kind of find questions to ask that are funded research questions. And those typically happen at the edges of disciplines and where they overlap and interact. And so, as I've been giving my feedback and talking about, I think that is a place where if you go back and you look at the schools and folks that are going to essentially marinate with one another together as they do, you know, all school faculty meetings, are there ways to encourage people to work across disciplinary lines and identify research opportunities in a way that when you're in your own silo or department, you might not do? I think that also is going to be an outgrowth of this, just by mere proximity. Right? That happens a lot.
And not only and the fact, the staff efficiency, being able to work together collectively.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Dean Brown.
Any other items of approval, Mr. Bishop?
Good.
Thank you, Chair. That's all we have.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now we move on to